Continuing on our series in emotion, this is session number 6. We got 2 more after this one. Today I want to talk about 2 emotions that you feel. Anger, you all feel that one from time to time. And disgust. Let's say disgust. Wow, that's an emotion? Yeah. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's start with anger. There's many different kinds of anger, many different reasons we get angry. And usually it's related to an offense. Somebody's done something to us, or somebody that we love, or we're having some reaction to disappointment. You aren't getting your own way, and so you become angry. So let's, before we get into all the purposes of anger, let me talk about the emotions and words related to anger. Anger has all these different levels, and it kind of begins with frustration. We all experience that. Probably almost daily, we have issues that are frustration. It's a very, very mild form of anger. We probably wouldn't even call it anger. And if there's issues that are just frustrating, usually it's easy to deal with those. But again, the frustration, as soon as it's there, begins to reveal to us our value system. Begins to right away show us the reason you're frustrated is something is interfering with your value system. And again, like a lot of emotions, at that point, we're not paying that much attention to it because, well, it's not a big enough issue. We're just, the emotion isn't strong enough. Then another form of anger is what we call righteous indignation. It's how Christians talk about anger and want to feel spiritual about it. We call it righteous indignation. It's when we're bothered by something that we believe is in injustice, that it shouldn't be happening. When you're bothered by something that you believe bothers God. So this thing makes God be angry, therefore it's okay for it to make me angry too. The problem is we're not always sure whether or not he's actually angry about it, but we're ready to be angry about it. So that's righteous indignation. Rage. Now rage is getting really up there, and some of us maybe go through life never really experiencing rage. Rage is when anger is beginning to get out of control. That the angry person is beginning to have trouble controlling themselves. They don't know how to stop being angry at that moment. Beyond that, resentment. Resentment is when you keep that offense around in your mind. Yes, it's a form of anger. It's just it's not letting that anger go away. You keep on having evil thoughts about that situation, that issue of anger. Bitterness is the next step up from resentment. Bitterness is really being angry all the time. At a low level, you're angry all the time. Everything is bothersome to you when you become bitter. Then the next step after that is hate. Hate is when you have the anger and hostility toward another person. When you have toward them, and you want bad things to happen to them. When you start thinking, I want bad things to happen to that person, that's hate. You've moved into that hate level. You want their life to be miserable. You want them to suffer. And after that comes enmity. Enmity is mutual hatred. Is that you hate them and they hate you back. So those are kind of those stages or different ways we look at anger. But it's all anger. It's just different elements of it. It's just different expressions of it. And I could go through, speak about each one of these different emotions related to each one. But it's really the same thing. So I lump all these together under that one heading, angry. Why do we become angry? Anger is a strong feeling that something's not the way it's supposed to be. That's all it is. It's a feeling that this is not right. And that's where you get those righteous indignation thoughts or feelings, especially around justice, that produce anger. Things are not how I think they're supposed to be, how they ought to be in my life or in another person or in the way somebody's being treated. I don't like the way it's going. It's not right. My value system says right is this way and this is what's happening and that's where the problem is. Anger is you saying or believing something's wrong according to your value system. Now, the difference between anger and despair is this. Despair looks at the thing, here's my value system, here's what's happening. Despair says, it will never be fixed. Despair gives up. Despair has no hope in it. And anger, though, anger looks at the situation and says, it can be fixed. This is the way I want it to be. This is the way it is. There's a problem here, and it needs to be fixed. That's what anger's reaction is. This problem needs to be fixed. It looks for a solution. Unfortunately, angry people, when they're looking for the solution, don't always do it in the right way. They might want the solution, and the solution might be God's end, but the means of getting there often for an angry person is a mess. Because anger sometimes doesn't allow us to actually handle things in the way we should. So ultimately, emotion, the emotion anger, is going to be about you being right. You thinking you have the right way, the right value, you being in control, or about looking good in the eyes of others, the pride or the self-wisdom involved in it. And you should be able to recognize when I speak about those things, those are those three areas that Jesus was tempted in. Those three areas come up again and again and again, and you need to know what they are so that you're able to very quickly determine your value system in terms of your emotion. Can anybody tell me what those three areas are, nice and plain and simple?
Bodily appetites.
What other people think about you.
And power and control.
Power and control, or having things, yes. Very good. We know one person knows those. If you don't know them, you can always remember Jesus' temptation. Go to Matthew or Luke chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is the one I draw from. But those are those three areas. And those three areas are the areas that determine or reveal to you your value system. So anger is about me thinking that I'm wiser than others, especially, you know, in terms of I want it to be this way and they want it to be that way, and of course I'm the one who's right there, therefore I have a right to be angry. The problem is the difference between me and them, and I get angry because I'm wiser than them and they need to serve me in my kingdom. It's about me getting my own way, wanting things according to my value system. That's what makes you angry. So when you're trying to understand your heart when you're angry, be looking for the difference between what is reality and what I want it to be, or what my value system says it's supposed to be. That difference is why you're angry. That's where anger comes from. That will show you what's going on in your heart, where your value system is, what you want, and what you think is not right about the current situation. Ask yourself, what do I think is not right? And so that's the part when you're trying to address the problem, because anger is about fixing problems, you need to be looking at, here's my value system. What in it looks at this current situation that's beginning to make me angry and says, what's not right here? And that not right part is the problem that your anger needs to fix. That's the problem you want fixed, the value. Anger reveals that you want something to be according to your value system and that it isn't. And anger is about you wanting to change things to make them match your value system, match what you want. Your anger wants to fix that thing and make it match your value system. So let's look at a couple of stories from the Bible that talk about anger. One of the most famous stories, Cain and Abel. Remember the story of Cain? Cain brings his offering to God, as does his brother. And the Bible says, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. We talked about his face falling during the disappointment, one emotion. But here, he becomes angry. It's the stage after that disappointment. He was disappointed, and then he became angry. Cain had a problem, right? The problem was the difference between his value system and God's value system, right? Or his brother's value system. So what he needed to do was try to either change his value system to match reality or change reality to match his value system. But what he chose to do, rather than changing himself, he decided to change his brother from being a living brother into being a dead brother. And he thought that would solve the problem. But did it solve the problem? It didn't solve the problem because his brother wasn't the problem. His brother was not the problem. So killing his brother couldn't solve the problem. And that's how we often deal with things or people when we're angry. We look at them as the problem and we try to change them. So instead of fixing the problem with the help of the other person, we see them as the problem and we seek to fix them or remove them. And removing them means what? Destroying relationship. And that's often what happens with anger. It destroys relationship. The people around us are not really the problem, but we attack them as though they are. Sometimes the problem involves other people. Most of the time, the problem involves other people. But killing the other person is not the right way of solving your problems. James chapter 4, 1 and 2, we talk about this a lot in the discussion of desires. What causes quarrels and fights among you? So it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You have the value system is fighting against reality. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. We see this, the conflict between what is in my value system and what is the reality, and produces this anger. And again, we see that our desires cause the conflict in relationship. So instead of changing our desires or seeking to bring change reality to match our desires, well, either the problem's within you or the problem's outside of you. If the problem's in you, you need to change your value system. If the problem's outside of you, you need to fix the problem. But instead of doing that, we tend to attack the other person. We seek to reshape them. Instead of reshaping our desires in terms of sacrificial love in order to preserve the relationship, we attack the other person. Anger then becomes destructive to relationship rather than becoming constructive, either constructive in changing us or constructive in deepening the relationship, making the people work together and having value systems that come together. We automatically assume the other person and their value system is the problem, and that's why it leads to conflict. They are the problem, their value system is the problem that needs to be fixed, rather than looking at our own and seeing if the problem's within us first. And that's usually what makes us angry. There's a conflict between me and my value system, and you and your value system, and I naturally assume you're the one who's wrong. Because, of course, you must be. When you're becoming angry a lot, chances are it's your value system that needs to change the most. Let's look at Jesus' anger next. A few stories he has. Jesus became angry just like he became sad. Jesus' anger had a purpose. And when you look at when he becomes angry, you can see the purpose in it is to fix a problem. There's a problem. And so he becomes angry to fix the problem. The story of him clearing the temple. He comes to the temple. This is a place where the Gentiles are supposed to be able to worship God. What's going on there? Buying and selling animals, all this junk going on. The Gentiles were not allowed to worship God there. They weren't permitted to worship God freely there. And so he channels his anger to do what? To whip the Jews? No, to fix the problem, right? To clear out the problem in the temple. And the problem in the temple was this money changing, the selling, buying, selling animals, all these things that were going on there. This is what he sought to do when he became angry, was to fix the problem. There's another situation we read about in Mark chapter 3 when Jesus becomes angry. He's in the synagogue and he's being challenged by the Pharisees about healing a person. Is healing right on the Sabbath? And there's a man there with a shriveled hand. And Jesus, he asked the people around and the religious leaders, is it okay to do good on the Sabbath? And they won't answer him. They won't answer his question. And so what is he? He becomes angry, the Bible says. He becomes angry. Now, what is going on there? The difference between his value system, which is to do good, and their value system, which was not God's, that difference between value system was what created the anger. And so what does he do? He says to the man, stretch out your hand. And he heals the man there. Now the problem was how the religious leaders had rejected God's value system and were teaching people their own value system. That was the problem. So Jesus heals the man in order to show the difference between his value system and their value system. And in doing so, he reveals their heart and showing how their heart doesn't match God's. He didn't attack his opponents there. He didn't. He's God. He's got all this miraculous power. He uses to heal. He could have zapped everybody in the room, right? So I guess we would have probably done. I'll heal you, and then I'll cripple the rest of you. But that's what you would do, wouldn't you? And I know that because when we become angry, that's what we want to do to people. Reason number one why you aren't God. He didn't attack his opponents. He helped the man in need, regardless of the consequence to himself. Sacrificial love for others. Now, there's another few instances where we read in the Bible about God's anger, God's wrath. He becomes angry. So let's look at that. Here's a very, very good verse on that. It's John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Now, anger and wrath go together. Okay, you can't separate that. That is totally the same concept. God's wrath is against what, though? It's against the problem of sin. The problem is sin. That's where God's wrath is directed, towards sin. So God's plan in dealing with the problem, that is sin, was to do what? To provide a solution to the problem that would preserve relationship, extend relationship, rather than destroy us. He could have just killed us all because that would be the just thing to do because of our sin. But that's not what he chose to do. What he chose to do was take the sin upon himself, bear the wrath upon himself. He allows the temporary disruption of the relationship with his son in receiving his wrath to provide the permanent establishment of relationship with us by removing the wrath against us. God's anger, his wrath, is about a problem, but he didn't see us as the problem, he saw the sin as the problem. He sought to remove the sin to preserve the relationship. So to be like him, we have to do the same thing. Not attack other people, but seek to find out what the problem is, remove the problem, and improve relationship. Preserve relationship by dealing with the problem rather than attacking the sinner. Now, of course, if a person refuses to repent, that is, change their value system, relationship can't be restored with them. Problems can't always be dealt with. There are people in your life that you will have problems with that don't want to change. They don't want to fix the problem. It's not going to happen. Okay? And the same thing happens to God. God has people in his life that don't want to repent and don't want to fix the problem with him. And his wrath will go against them. Our anger, Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. Again, our anger becomes sinful when we attack others rather than seek to solve the problem in value system. We resolve problems by changing our value system or by changing the value system of the other person, not by attacking them, not by destroying them. That's what anger is about. Let's talk about disgust. A lot of people think disgust is a very negative emotion, but it's a healthy response. You're supposed to be disgusted by things. You should have that response. Let me a few related things that are related to the issue of disgust: contempt or horror or shock. Similar emotions, similar feelings under the heading of disgust. Disgust is a reaction against something that's out of place, like vomit. You've never heard that word in church before, have you? Why does that disgust you? Because it's something that's out of place, right? When it's in its right place, it doesn't bother you at all. It's good when it's in its own place. Blood. How many people like the sight of blood, especially their own? Most people don't like that image, right? Why? Because it's out of place. Or how about when a person's skiing and they fall down and they break their bones and they're sticking out through the side of their leg? It's because it's out of place. It's cool. Sick. You will be used in the illustration of what's to come. I'm thinking more in terms with regard to disgust, though, in someone's ethical system, in their value system. But it's the same idea. It has to do with what's out of place. We're disgusted when a person's value system is so different from the norm, or from society's, or most importantly, from our own. It's because their value system is so out of place. What they do in their value system is so out of place from ours. It disgusts us. It's the difference in value system is so huge that we're disgusted by it. We're disgusted by the practice of their value system. We're shocked that they could even hold values like that, let alone do it publicly or privately. That's what we're talking about in terms of disgust. A value system so corrupt, so out of place, so twisted that it shocks. That's what disgust is about. When another's value system is so offensive for us to have disgust or contempt even at what they've done, it's especially so when we cannot relate to how they could even hold values like that. There's a story like that in the news this week of something so horrible. that somebody was doing, and everybody was shocked and disgusted by their behavior. I won't even tell you what it is, it's so bad. I'll say vomit in church, but I won't even say what this other person did. it's so bad. And everyone in society looks at it and is shocked. They are so unlike us that we're revolted by their action. Now, I spoke earlier about disgust when a person's value system was radically different from the norm or from society's. The interesting thing about this is how the norm can change over time. That what was first once disgusting no longer has that same effect on the majority of people as it once did. How does that happen? Well, the value system of the people, of society, has changed. People's experience of something and their talk of some things moves that value system from something that's disgusting to something that's normal. Then members of the society then adopt the culture's value system. And what the value system of the culture is, they have as their own and consider it normal. Now, value systems move from evil to good when people adopt God's value system. But things are always in flux. Things are always changing. And where people abandon God, they also abandon His value system. It's only a belief in someone higher and better than ourselves that causes us to pursue a value system other than our own that's higher and better. Otherwise, we'll live according to our desires, which typically cause us to be selfish and evil and corrupt. So what am I saying by all this? That cultural values can be changed when the disgust level drops. That's what happens. The disgust level drops, and then the disgusting moves in and becomes the norm. Where there is disgust, there will be no change. But where there's constant exposure to the disgusting, eventually there will be no disgust, and following that, there will be acceptance of the new value. Let me illustrate what that's like. I once went to help someone clean up their home, if you could describe it as that. And I have never seen anything that filthy in my life. I mean, absolutely wall-to-wall filth, the entire place. But the people who lived in it weren't bothered by it enough to clean it up. It became normal to them. And we hear often stories similar to that. Well, the same thing happens morally to people. In order to prevent the adoption of negative values in your life and in the lives of those around you, there has to be a continued level and expression of disgust for the values you reject. If you do not habitually express disgust, then you will eventually be overwhelmed by the numbing effect of being bombarded with the disgusting. When you don't express disgust for what's disgusting, people think you accept it. Society then changes what it decides to be what's normal. And after that, you're in danger of accepting it yourself, having your own value system molded after what is revolting. That's what disgust is about. So anger and disgust, though, are related, because they both flow out of our belief that something is wrong. Disgust without anger will not have the strength to defend its value system, righteous indignation. Anger without love will attack and kill rather than deal with problems while preserving relationship. So if there is disgust, it has to be met with anger to fix the problem, but it also has to be done with love. Difference in value systems cause conflict in relationship. Why? Because it produces anger and disgust. We need to understand this and be careful not to sin in our anger, nor become so accustomed to the disgusting that we embrace it rather than stand against it and see it as a problem. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight into your own hearts on those two issues. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you do have anger and disgust, and that you want us to have those same emotions toward the same things that produce them in you. Help us to make sure our value systems come from you, not from our culture, that we might look like you and be like you and glorify you. To fix the problems in our world in ways that honor you and produce in other people good relationships and freedom and love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.